If you're struggling in your career, business, or life, this podcast is for you. 9/11 survivor Ari Schoenbrunn shares inspiring interviews so you too can rise like a phoenix from the ashes to live your best life. Here's your host, Ari.
Welcome to Whispers and Bricks. My name is Ari Schoenbrunn and I am your host. We have two very special guests on this episode, Rick Barry and his wife, Lynn Barry.
Rick Barry is one of the most celebrated players in NBA history. In 1965, Barry was drafted third in the first round of the NBA draft by the San Francisco Warriors. During his 14-year professional career, four in the ABA and 10 in the NBA, Barry was a 12-time All-Star. He became the only player in history to lead the NCAA, ABA, and NBA in scoring. In 1975, Barry earned the NBA Championship Series MVP, leading the underdog Warriors to a four-game sweep of the Washington Bullets to win the title. In a combined ABA-NBA career, Barry tallied 25,279 points and received nine All-NBA-ABA first-team honors. In 1987, the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame inducted Rick as a player, and in 1988, the Golden State Warriors retired his number 24 jersey. Barry is one of the 50 greatest NBA players.
His unorthodox underhand free throw style enabled him to finish his career with the second best accuracy in the history of the NBA at 90%. And believe me, I remember those underhand baskets. We'll talk about that later. Now, while still a player, Rick became a broadcaster, doing stints on several outlets, including ABC TV, CBS TV, TBS, and TNT. He continued his broadcasting career after retirement from pro basketball while getting heavily involved in various other business ventures. He's an avid fisherman and golfer. Rick had four boys with his first wife, Pam, as well as adopting a girl. In 1991, he married his current wife, Lynn, and together they had a boy, Canyon. All of his boys at one time or another have played pro basketball. Lynn, she's amazing. Lynn was an All-America basketball player at the College of William & Mary. She's considered the premier player in the school's history. She graduated Phi Beta Kappa in 1981 with a 3.97 GPA as a kinesiology major, ranked 7 in a class of, you ready for this, 869, and was also the school's homecoming queen. Lynn was elected to the William & Mary Athletic Hall of Fame in 1991 and became the first female athlete and still the only basketball player to have her number 22 jersey retired in 2002.
After graduation, Lynn earned a master's degree from the University of Kentucky, where she fashioned a perfect 4.0 GPA. For 12 years, she was the assistant executive director of USA Basketball in charge of all women's programs. For 5 years, Lynn was the special advisor to the WNBA and was a valuable asset in helping the new league get started. Lynn teaches basketball and is a frequent guest speaker at numerous camps and clinics. She's an avid golfer and pickleball player. She volunteers in school, church, and community activities. Please help me welcome Rick Barry and his wife, Lynn.
Guys, how are you?
To correct one thing, I'm not an avid golfer. I was a very good golfer, one handicap at one time. Golf is too difficult to be fun to play. I am an avid pickleball player as well as my wife right now. And also, just to straighten things out so you people know, my wife actually should have had 4.0 in college as well, but one professor gave her a B because she didn't follow directions at the beginning, but she really deserved to have an A.
Thank you, dear.
And one of the things that I'm proudest of, no, I'm serious about this, is that I'm so proud of the fact that in the history of NCAA Division I basketball, men and women, the only mother and son combination to have been two-time first-team academic All-America players are Lynn and our son, Canyon.
Wow.
We can just take over your interview, Ari. I'm sorry.
There you go. Hey, I'm loving it. I don't even have to ask anything.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, again, I want to thank you. I know you guys have very busy schedules and it means a lot to my audience that you came on and it means a lot to me as well. Now, so first and foremost, let me say, I can't believe it's been 12 years since the mission to Israel that we went on. And now Canyon is playing pro basketball and Avrami is married and starting to be an actuary and a rabbi. I know that I had an awesome time, and so did my son Avrami. It was a very meaningful experience meeting Rabbi Grossman and the 6,000 kids that he is currently taking care of. So let's start there. Guys, what kind of an impact did that trip to Israel have on the Barrys?
Well, I mean, I think it had the biggest impact. I mean, for me, I think that Rabbi Grossman is one of those individuals that when you first meet someone, you know that there's something incredibly special about them. There's just something, there's an aura, there's just something about him. I mean, he's kind of like a Mother Teresa type of person. And he's amazing. He really, truly is amazing. And it still was one of the most memorable trips that I've ever was on. It was great, as you say, you know, we got to meet you and your son. But yeah, I think it had a major impact on Canyon because he was there. Your son was getting bar mitzvahed. Right?
Yes, correct.
And so,
correct.
Right. And so, but Canyon had to write something. Lynn can tell the story more because she follows. She did all the academic stuff to help him out and do it. So you tell what he
did. No. He just, you know, they ask when you fill out your college applications, what was something that had the most impact on your life or what was most impactful. And he mentioned Rabbi Grossman and the trip that he took, you know, to Israel. And I think that's awesome that it meant a lot to him. And I will say that we certainly enjoyed spending the time with you and Avrami because Canyon would have been bored out of his mind if he didn't have another little kid to run around with. I was trying to remember with Rick when that trip was, and now you brought it to light that it was, what, 12 years ago?
Yeah, because it was Avrami's bar mitzvah. So yeah. He was 13, Canyon was 14.
Yeah.
Right. So I knew there was a year difference and I think 2 inches.
Well, yeah.
I think Canyon was sure 2 inches. Two
probably
inches
a few more Avrami. Now.
Right? Now Avrami's 5'9" and Canyon's what? 6'6".
Six.
Yeah. Okay. A little bit.
But yeah, we enjoyed that trip and I really enjoyed getting to know you guys and understanding more about your faith. And your dedication to your faith, you know, I think it was very interesting for us because we had not really been around people that, you know, were so prayerful and followed Judaism so much. And it was good for us to learn about that and find out about it.
Well, for me, I love history, right?
Okay.
And so for me to be standing, you know, being that I was brought up Catholic, for me to be standing where supposedly the cross was, where Jesus was crucified, and to be standing in some of those areas, even like when we had visited Rome before with one of the trips with the NBA when they had the McDonald's games, to be standing in the Colosseum in some places where, I mean, Julius Caesar or Cleopatra could have been standing there. I mean, Jesus could have been standing in these spots where I was, and some of these other, the apostles and all of the other people. I mean, that to me is a very moving experience. It really truly is. And to see the love that those kids have of Rabbi Grossman, he's like the Pied Piper, man. They just follow him around everywhere. It's really, truly remarkable. And God bless him. I mean, the way God does things, as you well know, he was asked to be the head rabbi for the state of Israel on numerous occasions and turned him down because he's committed to the kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
No, it was a great trip. Very, very memorable. And we got to know you guys, which is even better.
Yeah, that was, we still have it up on, I'm putting up another shelf behind me and I'm going to have some sports paraphernalia. And of course, the centerpiece is going to be the basketball that was signed by Rick and by Dr. J. So that's going to be, you know, that's going to be really great. We have that under glass. All right. Protecting it very much so. Yeah, great. Avrami had a great time. And I'm telling you, when we found out that there was supposed to be like 40 people on that mission, it was just me and Avrami. It was like, oh my God, Avrami's going to be bored out of his face. All right. And then when we met you guys and then we met Canyon, I'm going like, oh, thank God.
Same with us. And those two became fast friends. And I remember there's that picture, I think I sent it to you, of Canyon and Avrami in that little store. And Canyon had the yarmulke on his head.
Yeah.
Robbie standing there looking at him. It was cute.
One of my favorite pictures was when we were at Migdal Or and we had the lunch and then with music and there was the dancing and Rick picked Avrami up on his shoulders. I have that picture.
I still have the video. I was dancing around with him on my shoulders.
That was dancing
with the rabbi. I mean, yeah, that was just,
that was just amazing. Yeah. The smile on Avrami's face. I mean, it was just, I don't think he's ever been that high.
He'll never forget his bar mitzvah. That's for sure.
That's for sure. Okay. So now, as you know, the name of this podcast is Whispers and Bricks. The whispers are those voices telling you what is the right thing to do and represents the good in life. The bricks represent the bad things that we go through in life. And let's be real, everybody goes through something. Nobody's got a perfect life start to finish. They go through, they have some bricks thrown at them. That's just life. Now on the surface, you guys seem to have had a great life, great careers. However, as I said, we all know life is not a straight line. There are many ups and downs and many bumps in the road. Even superstars like you guys go through trials and tribulations. Now, my listeners would like to know, what were some of the struggles and or failures, some of the bricks that you got hit with when you were either starting out in your careers or throughout your careers? What were some of those bricks?
And to keep, you know, my wife happy and do stuff since she's the boss of the household, I'm going to let her go first and talk about the things she had to deal with.
I'll probably talk
a lot longer than
she
does.
Which is perfectly fine.
Go ahead, honey.
You
just brought it up just earlier.
You told me that we were going to talk about some things we'd overcome in life. And so I was talking to Rick last night, just saying, you know, let's talk about some of the bricks that we've had in our life and what those have been. And fortunately, we both couldn't come up with a lot of them because it was like, wow, our life has been
we're truly blessed.
Yeah, totally. But I would say for me, my biggest setback was in
the 3.97 as opposed to the 4.0.
I was diagnosed with cancer in 2007. Yeah. And malignant melanoma, had surgery,
stage 3,
lymph nodes removed, all that kind of stuff. But it was really interesting to me because it really became a time of reflection because I had to stay still and I'm very active.
Oh, I know that.
I had to stay still for 6 weeks, just not doing anything while my lymphatic system healed and everything healed and all that kind of stuff. And I kind of looked at it, I think at the time I was 40 something years old, 45, maybe 46. And I looked at it as a halftime of my life. And I said, what do you do at halftime? You evaluate the first half. What did you do wrong? What did you do right? And then you make a plan and set a course for what you're going to do in the second half of the game. And so for me, that was really a time of introspection and looking ahead and saying, okay, what do I want to accomplish in the second half? And so I really just looked at it as a halftime break and now moving forward, just the things I want to do and accomplish. And that was probably my biggest setback. And I know we both have had other injuries when we were playing sports. And I know that that was the thing that Rick had talked about.
Well, unfortunately, in that second half that she decided on, she decided she still had me around. So that was good.
I didn't get rid of him. I kept him. What the heck?
Oh.
Yeah,
well, that is truly amazing.
The time, you worry about those things. I mean, you don't know. Cancer is such a horrible disease, and I don't know if anybody in their entire lifetime goes through without having a friend or a family member or themselves having to deal with that dreaded disease. And so, thank God it hadn't spread to the lymph nodes. I mean, had it done that, I mean, I might not be here talking with Lynn. I mean, thank God it all worked out well. So, but yeah, we've been really blessed. I have to look at it. Everybody should have the life that I've had. I mean, yeah, I've been a poster boy for when I switched leagues and doing stuff. I've been just absolutely berated by the press and made into be this horrible ogre, terrible, rotten person that everybody hates. But the bottom line is that the people that I love who know me and my friends know who I am as a person. And I think the biggest thing for me was probably having my knee injury, my fourth year, actually. I played the first 2 years in the NBA and was a first team All-Pro player. And, you know, like people say, oh, he was rookie of the year. I said, no, actually, my rookie year, I was first team All-Pro, which is a little bit better than just being rookie of the year. And then the second year, I led the league in scoring. And then that doesn't happen very often. And then I changed and switched leagues. And so I was just absolutely vilified. It's a good word. See, my wife said all these big words. Yeah. I said 3.97 and the Masters. But here's the deal. I know who I am as a person. So that was no big deal. But then I got hurt in the first year that I played in the ABA. And when you get an injury that you have to have major surgery, and back then they didn't have arthroscopic surgery. I mean, I just simply had a cartilage, but I had to get cut open to do the cartilage. I mean, now people are back playing in 7 days, 10 days. I was out for 6 weeks and didn't know whether or not my knee was going to work again. And that was a very traumatic time for me. But I think, you know, you pray, you have faith that God has a plan for you. And I've always been a person to believe that there's a master plan for me. I accept what comes my way. I deal with it. If it makes me sad, I cry and I get over it. I have a real problem and I feel badly for people who don't have the ability to take things and compartmentalize them and put them on the back burner. Like people ask me after I retired, say, well, you missed the game. And I say, no. And they look strangely at me. And I said, well, the reason I don't miss it is because I don't think about it. Because if I thought about it, it would make me very sad. So why would I want to think about something that would make me sad? No, I don't think about the fact that I was never going to play the game that I love so much that I would love to have played longer. And I move on with my life. And so I got through that time. And, you know, I can still remember to this day exactly when I knew my knee was okay. It was a double overtime game in the ABA playing against the Dallas Chaparrals down in Dallas, Texas. And it's a very intense game. I made a steal. I broke away. I went up to go dunk it. And I jumped, and I was wearing a little bit of a brace on my left knee, and I got up really high. I said, oh my God, my knee's okay. Seriously, just a crazy little thing like that. I all of a sudden realized I don't have to worry about my knee collapsing and giving away on me. And I was able to do it. And then unfortunately, I tore the other cartilage and had to go through the thing the second time. But it's just a matter of having belief in yourself. I really, truly believe that. One of the keys to success when I talk to businesses, I always tell people these wonderful characteristics that are important, I think, to be successful that are similar to what I think helped me to be a success. And I talk about them, and I talk about having great pride in what you do and the words that make up peace and pride. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I'm not going to go through the whole thing.
This podcast is not like 3 hours long.
No, there's things that you have to do. Preparation, right? All the other things. Dedication. I was throwing out some words. Dedication, determination, all of these wonderful things and characteristics that you should have.
We should have gone on separately, Ari.
They all add up to the one thing I think that is critical in order to really truly be great at what you do. You have to have confidence in yourself and your abilities to do what is being asked of you to do and to be able to do them during critical situations. And that's why one of the things I get so upset in listening to broadcast on sports especially is the word pressure. Pressure this, well, the pressure's really on, the pressure. All right, I've never in my basketball career ever experienced pressure. Because pressure does not exist unless you lack confidence in your ability to do what it is you've trained to do. You are called upon, and I'm sure it's happened to you in many situations in the business world, to have to perform in a critical situation, a big contract, you're a salesperson, whatever it may be. In my case, it was having to play, maybe making the last shot. I had confidence in myself that I was going to do that. And those situations were not situations that I would shy away from or feel pressure. I was looking forward to them. I told people, if I could play every game of my life over again and I can control some, I'd want it to come down to the last 10 seconds and the ball in my hand.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Amazing. Amazing. I was a ball player in high school, a little bit in college, hoops. And then afterwards, you know, when I went, obviously was not good enough to play in the NBA, which was no big deal. But I played, you know, religiously. I love the game. And when I was, I think it was about 40 years old, and we were playing, and I had a steal. I was running down on a fast break, and there was another guy who was like 5'6", all right? But for A, he was a leaper. He could out-rebound just about everybody there. It was unbelievable. And he was really, really quick. And as I'm driving down, I hear his footsteps behind me. So, you know, I get nervous, right? And I'm thinking, oh, he's right behind me. You know, I'm going to fake one way and go the other way and then lay it up, right? I faked one way. I went the other way, but my knee didn't cooperate. And I went down. I missed the shot, which was the worst part, but I tore my ACL. And you know, at 40, and you tear your ACL, it's no picnic. And I went like, you know what? My basketball days are over. Because I had torn my meniscus like 3 times. But when I tore the ACL, I went like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. You know, I
take up pickleball.
No, I took up golf, actually.
Okay.
I took up golf.
Well, Rick made me take up golf, and then he ended up not liking it. So now I play, and he doesn't.
No, it's not that I don't like it.
You don't like it.
Yeah, it's so difficult.
Act like you don't like it.
It's the most difficult sport I've ever played. You never could master it. I got confirmation from that. I happened to be with Jack Nicklaus about 8 months ago and asked him, Jack, I keep telling everybody you'll never can master golf. Am I right? He said, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, so when the greatest golfer in the world tells you that you can never master the game and you're a perfectionist, that's probably something you should probably shy away from because I'd like to go nuts. I said, if I was a drinker or a smoker, I'd be an alcoholic and I'd probably have lung cancer.
Yeah. Well, you do everything to the limit, Rick. That's what I know about you. All right. I've watched you play both in the ABA and the NBA. The greatest thing about you from my perspective was the underhand free throws. All right. Because, you know, especially when you're young, right? And kids, they can't reach the basket. They try and they try. And, you know, if they did it, underhand is so much easier to do it, you know, for them to reach the basket. And I think it gave kids, I know that it gave a lot of kids a lot of, you know, it helped with their self-confidence. They're like, oh, I can do this underhand. Look, Rick Barry does it underhand. He plays in the NBA. Why shouldn't I be able to do it in my league? It was just something that was, I felt that kids took away a lot with that underhand free throw. How did that come about though?
My father was a semi-pro player and coach, and he shot that way. And he just felt that I could be a higher percentage shooter. It's only maybe mid-70s shooter, which is okay, but it's not good. I don't think you're a good free throw shooter if you can't make, you know, 8 out of every 10.
Yeah.
80% is is you're good. And then you get better. But if you're not at 80, you should never be satisfied with that. In fact, I was never satisfied at 90. In fact, I got better. No, I really did. I still think I'm the best free throw shooter. If you were to look at the record, what I had when I changed the technique, I changed my technique in my last 6 years. I shot over 92%. My last 2 years, I shot over 94%. In fact, Andre Drummond from the Pistons in one game set a record, missed 23 free throws in one game. That's more free throws than I missed in my entire last two seasons. I missed 9 in one season and 10 in another. And so, and I can tell you that was 19 times that I was really upset with myself, because if I missed them, the only reason I missed it is because I did something incorrect. I didn't shoot the ball as accurately and as properly as I should have. So it's something that my father instilled, taking pride in everything you do in life, making sure you give your best effort. And that's what I try to instill in kids when I talk to them, is that find something that you love. I said, if you get nothing else out of all the things I'm talking about here today, please get this. Find something in life that you have a love and a passion for. Learn as much about it as you possibly can, because that knowledge that you get is going to be the foundation that you're going to lay down that you can build on. You cannot build a skyscraper on a small foundation. It will topple over. So the bigger the foundation, the taller the building. And if you're blessed with God-given talent and abilities and you learn the game and learn how to do it properly, you have the potential then of maximizing your full potential. And I love greatness. Like, I am so looking forward to the football game today, because you have old school, new school. You have one of the greatest quarterbacks ever in Brady. And you have, I just love watching Mahomes play. Yeah. And he's going to be amazing. Hopefully he'll stay healthy. And I love watching great people do whatever it is, not just in sports, whatever it happens to be. I have great admiration and respect for people who are great at what they do.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a movie called Draft Day. I don't know if you saw it. It was a football movie. And at one point in time, he was talking about, he was the general manager of the Cleveland Browns. And he talked about a Super Bowl that Joe Montana was in. It was like, you know, a minute and a half left in the game and they needed to score a touchdown in order to win. And Montana comes into the huddle and you're watching it. And he says, and all of a sudden he turns around, he looks up in the crowd and he says, "Hey, isn't that John Candy up there?" He said, and all the guys looked up and they saw John Candy, and just all of a sudden, everybody calmed down. Everybody got, and they drove 93 yards for the touchdown to win the Super Bowl. You know, he says, in other words, he had the coolness about him, you know, and that's what the great ones do, as my son once told me. Great players make great plays, not great excuses.
Well, back to underhand free throws. Our son, as you know, Canyon shoots under. So Rick is happy and loves watching him shoot the underhanded free throw and carry on the tradition.
He's gotten very good. He's 85 to 90% free throw shooter. Wow. And it's really cool because I love him. He told the story that he thought one of the greatest things about being made fun of, obviously you still get made fun of. He gets made fun of when he does stuff. But he was playing in the game and he missed the free throw. And the student section over there yelled out, "You're adopted. You're adopted."
Oh, my. Anyway.
So listen, I know that the two of you do a fair amount of speaking. If people want to get in touch with you to have you come in and speak at an event, what would be the best way for them to do that? If you can share that information with us.
I had my website up, but it's not really functioning the way it should be doing it. I mean, they could probably just reach out to me on Messenger or Facebook or LinkedIn and out there, and also on Instagram or something. They could just, if they just message me or doing something, and if I see it, if it makes some sense, I will reach out to someone. Oh. I just don't give out my normal face.
No, obviously no. Because most times when I talk to people, they have
just
a website.
Cell number right now.
Yeah. Give me a call anytime you want. Now I'm getting all these on cell phone. Now I'm getting all of these just absurd marketing text and everything, spams on my cell phone with text. It's pathetic. I mean, it's kind of disgusting because a lot of it is very sexual stuff. And I don't know how they get away with doing that. I really don't. It's really annoying.
Or they could reach out to you, Ari, and you could pass.
I was going to say, they can reach out to me. I'll reach out to Lynn.
Whispers and bricks.
That's
whispers
right.
Whispers and bricks. Yeah.
Thank God we've had way more whispers than we've had bricks. We're truly blessed. But here's the thing, folks, don't get so discouraged and feel badly. Things in life happen for a reason. God has a master plan. Sometimes you can't figure out why. I know it's taken years, even in my pursuit, relentless pursuit of Lynn for 5 years to wear her down. I mean, you have to withstand what's going on. Things will work it out. I mean, I was wondering, why was it taking me forever to have this divorce thing? Well, if it hadn't been for that taking so long, I would have asked her to marry me because I knew I wanted to have her in the rest of my life. But fortunately, that divorce took forever. And by the time it got done, we had established a really good relationship that enabled her to overcome her first response, which was total panic and fear.
He had a lot of baggage. We don't want
If it hadn't been for that, I don't know that we'd be sitting here talking that she would have ever said yes and gotten married. Just hang in there, folks. That's all I can tell you.
There you go. There you go. Lynn, I guess it's the same for you. If people want to reach out to you and they're looking for a speaker, I guess I'll just have them come through me.
She's very, very good. She's
awesome. I know.
She's an amazing teacher, too, in basketball. She's really.
Oh, I know. Look, again, I was watching the two of you on the mission, and Rick, I knew what you could do, all right? But I didn't know anything about Lynn. And when I saw her going at it, it was like, wow. Oh, man, that's great. That's great. So, Rick and Lynn.
Us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good to see you, and I hope everybody hangs in there tough during this crazy time that we're in. It's very chaotic and disruptive. But like I say, God has a master plan. We'll see what it is, but hopefully we'll get this thing under control and be able to get back to some semblance of normal type of life.
Normalcy. Because,
what we've gone through is just, it's been very sad. I mean, a lot of people's lives have been ruined and destroyed and businesses. And man, and that's one of the things that it say everything happens in real. I know these people have to be sitting there and say, well, how can this possibly be good? Why is this possibly happening? There's a plan. Somehow you're going to find something else that you're going to have to wind up doing. You got to survive. You have to do it. And all of a sudden it could wind up turning into something that you never would have gotten into. And it becomes way better than what you previously were in. So just have faith and trust God and see how it works out.
You guys are so amazing. Thanks so much for sharing your stories with me and my audience and giving the people the motivation they need to persevere through all of their struggles in life. Good luck to the two of you going forward. You've been listening to Whispers and Bricks. I'm your host, Ari Schoenbrunn. Until next time, listen to the whispers and never, ever give up on your dreams. Bye for now.
So that's it for today's episode of Whispers and Bricks. Head on over to iTunes and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week that posts a review on iTunes will win a chance in the grand prize drawing to win a $25,000 private VIP day with Ari himself. Be sure to head on over to whispersandbrickspodcast.com and pick up a free copy of Ari's gift and join us on the next episode.